The following program is brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, and the views expressed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station.
It's time for Hanson McLean's Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us this weekend.
That's right. Glad you are here with us on this middle of June summer weekend, and both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors. We spend our weekdays working with people like yourself, helping them plan their financial future, whether it's planning their retirement or currently retired and helping them with retirement income or helping their kids or grandkids get through college, figuring out the best way to reduce their risk, estate planning, tax planning, all that stuff. That's the kind of things that we do during the week. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. We got a great program lined up today. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in the current economic realm, and we've got some other great topics. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls and answer your questions. And one of the reasons we've been doing this for 20-some-odd years is because we enjoy hearing from people. And if you'd like to be part of the program, have a question for us, anything that's on your mind financially, the contact number to be part of the program, it's 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON or 916-921-1530. We'll get you on the program.
And we'll answer your questions.
And we will answer your questions. So anyway.
My favorite part of the job, by the way. I mean, and really, it's my show, so, and yours as well, so.
Favorite part of your job.
Well, it's interacting with the clients.
It was funny. I was talking with a college student yesterday who's studying accounting, switched to finance, kind of figuring out what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, accounting, he says, I just couldn't imagine sitting behind a desk all day. I started thinking, well, you're probably going to be, unless you want to be digging ditches, you'll probably be at a desk with some screen in front of you a good portion of the time. But we start talking about, you know, the whole portion of being able, having some sort of job where you can interact with people. And
what did he decide to do?
I don't know. He's already worried about college being too quick. It's hilarious. He's a sophomore and he doesn't want it.
He doesn't want it to end.
He met with his college advisor and they said he's on track for 4 years. And that wasn't positive for him because
he wanted to be five or six.
I guess so. Anyway, we can talk about this sort of stuff all the time. You know what's interesting, Pat? Watching the bond markets this last couple weeks, interest rates have risen dramatically. They were so low. We saw some negative yields on some German bonds for a while.
Even they're still low now.
Extremely low. But we certainly saw an uptick in interest rates. And, of course, when the interest rates rise, if you hold bonds, the bond values can decline. So if you look at your last 2 week return on some of your bond funds you hold, particularly if they're government bond funds, you will most likely see a negative return for that period of time. And that's
as interest rates rise, bond values fall.
Yeah, we're going to talk. So anyway, one of the things we want to talk about during this program, it's a relatively new concept, and I think most people aren't aware there's actually a way to avoid some required minimum distributions on your retirement plans, your IRAs. And it's essentially, think of this concept as insurance if you live too long, right? So as we're young, we'll have life insurance in case something happens to us. We got a family, we got kids. If we live too short, die too young, we have life insurance to make sure there's some assets there to protect some of the ones we leave behind.
So this is longevity insurance.
Longevity insurance, and they're essentially, they call themselves longevity insurance or qualified life annuity contracts. They're essentially a type of annuity that will begin paying typically after age 85. So you'll put some money and say, I think I've got enough money to last if I live to about age 82. What happens if you live to 102? So these are the type of annuity contracts where people can put in, and they'll begin paying on a lifetime annuity stream, typically at age 85. So it's their design. But here's
the idea being is that you're going to receive a lot more money than you put in Because statistically,
you're not. Yeah,
there's going to be a group of people that don't make it to 85.
And the younger you buy it, of course, the less expensive it's going to be.
Much like long-term care insurance
or life insurance. The older you are, the more expensive. For longevity insurance, the younger you are, the less expensive it is. If you're 30 years old, if there's some company out there willing to write you a contract, there probably is. But it would begin. But here's the interesting thing. So IRS allows you to transfer up to 25% of your retirement plans into these qualified lifetime annuity contracts, and you're not required to take the minimum distributions. So it's a way to avoid required minimum distributions.
Really? I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that.
You're not supposed to say that on the air.
Oh, the host does. Oh, I know everything.
That's one of the things I'm talking about. It's a relatively underutilized financial product. Maybe rightfully so. I'm not sure.
So if I have $1 million.
Say you're. Let's say you're 70 years old.
And I have $1 million.
In your 401k or IRA, and you haven't taken any money out because you already have a relatively high income.
And my required minimum distribution is, let's say $1 million, it'll be $36,000, $37,000 a year to start. That's my first year's distribution.
And every year after that is going to get worse, assuming your account balance has any moderate growth.
So I take 25% of this, $250,000, and I buy this policy. It's a policy. It's an annuity, which is a form of insurance. So it's a policy that pays me X amount of dollars after the age of 85.
That's exactly it.
And I don't have to take required minimum distributions I don't have to use that in the calculation. So then my required minimum distributions are based on the $750,000 that's remaining in the IRA.
Assuming you took that much to buy a lifetime. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of where would you recommend it to a client?
Well, here's the challenge. So you brought up the case you just brought up. Somebody's got $1 million that's not taking required minimum distributions.
They don't need them. They don't need the money, so they're not going to buy this.
They don't really need the money.
They're not going to buy this.
Correct. They're not going to buy it.
They're thinking about leaving the money to their heirs.
Right. So the person who would buy this, I mean, it's oftentimes the challenge in some of these retirement issues. It's those individuals that could need it the most are the ones that can't afford it.
Which is what you see the government.
Long-term care insurance, the same kind of thing. It's the ones that really need the long-term care insurance. It's the cost is so prohibitive.
But I remember a few years ago, where they had a program for low-income people to save for retirement that had some caveats in there, some matches or something.
They still have that. You don't even know what the rules are, do you?
Yeah,
I don't either because nobody.
Because people that are low-income, believe me, they don't they'd like to spend a lot of time thinking about retirement, but there are so many other pressing issues on the table that.
Yeah, if you're working for minimum wage, whether that's $9 or $15 an hour or whatever the minimum wage,
$15 an hour,
you're not going to be saving for retirement.
$33,000 a year.
But this whole concept of longevity insurance, you could start seeing it. It would be the type of thing where it'd be better to contribute a little bit to, say, in your 50s. If you can say, let's say you're saving $1,000 a month in your 50s, and you can say, you know, I'm going to have $50 a month of this go to something that will pay if I'm age 85 or if I'm age 90. We've begun to see a little of these introduced in 401k plans.
And you'll actually see the product change as the adoption rate picks up, which then they're going to start having a partial refund on these or other programs that actually are more bells and whistles if the adoption takes place, which means if people begin to buy them. But there's not enough competition in the market right now to actually.
Well, no one's really buying them.
Yeah.
I've never recommended.
I haven't either.
But for the right situation, and I think because of, and by the way, this is relatively new that the IRS has allowed you to avoid required minimum distributions on up to 25%. But if you're somebody, I've got a client, she's planning on living to 110. She's actually in her 70s and looks fantastic.
And she wants to live to 110.
Yeah, yes. And she wants to live to 100. Mother's still alive and healthy and all this stuff. And we actually used a certain type of, I don't even recommend annuities much, but we used a product for her based upon, I said, if you really, this is really what you believe, and we want to finance for that, then let's look at something. you could see a longevity guarantee product.
I could
work for something.
You know, it's funny because I had a client. I've had clients. I had one client came in, opened the account, and he said, "I'm only going to live 10 years." So this is the distribution.
So what happens if you live to 11 years?
I said to him, "How do you know?" He said, "Spend a weekend with me. You'll see."
Nice, really?
Yeah, he died in 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He said, actually, he died after a big weekend, his wife told me.
Oh, my goodness.
A big weekend for him.
And as a good financial advisor, we try to tailor the product and the solutions based upon what their goals and objectives are and what they tell us they think is going to happen.
He was right. I said to him, "This is very dangerous." He said, "I'm not worried about it."
Okay, well, anyway. So we're going to take a break here in just a moment. And if you'd like to join the program, if you got a question for us regarding your retirement or your 401k, trying to figure it out how it's allocated, anything in the financial realm, we'd love to take your call. And we got lines open. It's always easier to get on earlier in the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Or 916-921-1530. This is Hanson McLean.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Answering your tough financial questions with a little humor and a lot of fun. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you are here. Again, to join the program, 916-921-1530. Or 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. We'll get you on the program. I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to join us. And I've got some concern with how people have been chasing some of the higher yielding investments these days.
It's scary. It's just flat out scary, Scott, because The quest for yield, the chase for yield, is so great that risk is being ignored. It is absolutely being ignored, and you see this in some of these IPOs, which are it's so bubble-ish. This whole concept where we're at today in this environment, especially with both non-traded REITs and traded REITs, a little bit scary, and these new IPOs that are coming out.
Well, and I saw also some of these business development trusts and all kinds of other. The challenge is, so if you're saying, well, I need retirement income, so I want to find high yielding stocks. I want to find high yielding investments.
And what is a high yield? Just like 6, 7?
Anything that's yielding 5-4% or higher.
Yeah, I'd bring it down to 3.5.
Okay. Anything that's yielding that or higher, you've got to start saying, all right, what is going on under the hood here?
Why are they paying such high yields?
That's the first question.
Why
is it paying such a high yield?
Why?
Because the bank seems to attract trillions of dollars paying very low yields.
Yes.
A lot of companies can go and borrow money either from the bank or the bond markets at very low interest rates.
What's wrong with this?
Why are they going to give so much money back?
No one gives it away unless they have to. No one.
Right.
So just because you see what it says, there's a reason they're having to pay that, which is a more sophisticated investor. If it's paying a higher yield like that, what it means is that there is inherent risk in that, that a sophisticated investor would be able to ferret out, if you will.
Correct. So, yeah, there's higher risk in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what's happening with the... so what needs to... essentially, you know, if you're looking... Someone sits and looks at goes after a fund that's yielding 7 or 8%, right? And some of these, what happens in some of these, we'll see some fixed income funds that will have a really high yield, and they're achieving that, Pat. They're achieving that high yield by leverage, by borrowing money. We're seeing it in right now in some of the municipal bond area. We're seeing others where they are going out, and they are borrowing money. So you invest even in these mutual funds.
Yes, leverage.
They're leveraged.
Yeah, which is scary. Equity indexed annuities. Equity indexed annuities as well. Some of the yields that are being offered on these, the supposed... Right, they're just a little scary.
Yeah, what ends up happening with some of these is when you see people going after these, chasing these high yields, it's you're taking on more risk than you think. And we saw, Pat, the Viatical company that just blew up a few weeks ago.
Oh yes,
we didn't talk that much about this on this program.
We didn't, but we have warned people in the past
for years.
Not just a couple times. About
these
Viaticals.
Life insurance,
guaranteed
structured settlements.
8 to 12% guaranteed rates of return without market risk. Remember, as an investor,
some of the biggest companies out in the market, out in there.
See this thing now is these real estate investment trusts that are actually being sold direct to consumers.
Hear an ad.
Direct to consumers.
Yeah, you can lease.
Why put your money in a bank when you could actually buy property that some of the largest banks in the U.S. actually are going to rent from you, and you become the landlord? Why would you invest your dollars at 1% when you could actually get them to pay you 5 or 6% on that? And that's direct to consumer. So these are very enticing offers at this point in time. When you see, if an advisor is telling you, or a salesman, it's hard to tell the difference between a financial advisor and a salesperson. Very difficult.
Well, some of them are just.
It is for you and I, because you know the difference, and you've had an affinity for the industry since your youth. So you can differentiate between the two. Most people that sell financial products call themselves financial advisors. Most people. They can't call themselves registered investment advisors, but they certainly can call themselves financial planners or financial advisors. And as a consumer, it's very, very difficult to tell the difference. So people are offering these non-traded REITs. Now they're offering them direct to consumer, which means that they're doing infomercials in order to sell them. Viaticals, equity index annuities. In fact, I gotta tell you, I got a chuckle the other day, because I'm doing some continuing education in the state of California, and I hold an insurance license in the state of California.
Proud of it. Got it framed on your wall.
Oh, there we go. Look, kids.
And in large part is so you can give advice on insurance products.
That's correct. I don't.
When was the last time you sold any sort of insurance product?
Oh, I can't even.
Yeah, you
remember.
Anyway, continue.
So
it's a very exciting story, by the way.
No. But
your continuing education.
My continuing education said the question said, they lined it up. It says Bill Smith is wanting to buy an indexed annuity, and I thought, no one ever wants to buy an indexed annuity.
Judy wants to buy life insurance. She went to the life insurance store.
Yeah, index annuities are sold. They're not bought. They're sold. They are sold.
So here's some things to be looking out for. Right now you're looking at wanting to invest somewhere, looking at some yields. some kind of things to you want to be aware of when you're looking at yields. First of all, if it's some sort of fund, find out if there's any sort of borrowing or leverage going on.
In the fund itself?
Yes. And you will see leveraging both in stock funds and in bond funds. The danger in these bond funds is these these mutual funds will go out in the marketplace, borrow some cash from a financial institution. They've got to pay interest on that.
And a couple percentage points.
Then they go out and invest in other fixed income products that earn slightly higher yield.
Yeah. And the idea being is that you're going to make the difference up.
The challenge happens when interest rates rise. If interest rates, when interest rates rise, with the values declining on it, because that they're leveraged, it's a magnifying effect. So you can just like think about in the same way in real estate. If you didn't have much equity in the house, the real estate fell in value, and suddenly your equity was wiped out.
You didn't get foreclosed.
The house didn't go to zero.
Correct.
But your equity went to zero or negative. The same thing can happen with these leveraged financial products. They get this leverage to get the high yield. So that's one of the first things I'd be looking at. What kind of leverage that they have in these?
And I would not be using leverage in an investment right now.
But we're seeing that.
Other than some, maybe a little bit in some commercial real estate and in some residential real estate. But use it with great caution.
We're seeing margin investing, margin loans, high. It's about as high as it's been in a number of years again.
Which, when we have seen this historically, is these margin loans get to these numbers, historically, the outcome in the market has never been good.
No. So anyway, look at what kind of leverage is on there. Secondly, find out what is the underlying investment that is happening here. So if you're hearing an ad on the radio that talks about earn 8 to 12% return with no stock market risk,
you have to ask yourself,
well, what are they investing in?
And just because it doesn't have stock market risk doesn't mean it doesn't have risk.
And why, if it's such a great investment, why are they having to buy ads on the radio or ads in newspapers to try to raise the capital?
And why would they give me a choice between 8 and 12%?
Well, maybe different terms.
It might be. It might be. But when you go to the bank and you see a bank CD at 1%, that's risk-free. Anything above that
has some degree of risk.
Has some degree of risk.
Yeah. From there, find out if someone's recommending this, what commission is that salesperson earning on this transaction? Because usually if you work with a registered investment advisor, someone who charges a fee to manage your assets, a firm like ours, for example, and you might say, well, you guys are advertising. Well, clearly we do advertisement. We're trying to gain clients where
that we can work with for years and years and years.
Yeah, we're not trying to sell product. Right?
Yes.
That's the difference. So find out what kind of commission your financial broker is going to be paid on this. And it's important to understand because...
What's their interest? What is their interest? In a environment, in a society where capitalism is how we interact in the marketplace... It's always good to know what the other person's interest is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I know if I go to Nordstrom's, they want to sell me clothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I understand the more clothing they sell me, the more money they're going
to
make.
I go to a GM dealership.
And he's going to tell me, oh, that suit looks great on you. I know the size isn't quite right, but man, it looks really good on you.
If you go to a GM dealership, there's probably not they're probably not going to tell you how great Ford is.
You think? So find out what's kind of commission. And you look at some of these equity index annuities, some of the commissions on these products are 6, 8, 10%, sometimes even more than that.
And there's a difference between a customer and a client.
If they tell you it's not going to cost you anything, where do you think the money's coming from to pay the commission? From you.
Yeah, it costs something.
Of course.
The fee is hidden.
It's hidden. It's in there.
The insurance company's not doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
And real estate investment trusts, the same thing we need to be looking at in the market today. These high commission real estate investment trusts locked up for years and years. So again, find out what kind of...
Understand the relationship you're having with someone who is calling themselves a financial advisor.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it's the thing that we get concerned about in this market right now. And the longer we're going on with these low interest rates, people get tempted to say, man, there's got to be something else out there. I should be doing something more. And someone comes along with some answer of, oh, hey, we can make you more money than here or make you more money there.
And the reality is sometimes it's okay to sit back and accept lower rates of return in order to stay out of that risk profile that says great danger.
There's no question. Return of principal is usually the most important thing before you have return on your principal. So we're going to take a short break for here from some news. Would love to take some calls. I don't know if it's a hot summer day, slower calls than normal. But anyway, we have a couple lines open. I'd love to hear from you. I've got a question regarding something in your financial world. You're trying to figure out if you can retire or what the best way to structure your retirement income. Anyway, a lot of different things there. To join the program, our contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Or dial us direct here at 916-921-1530. Again, 921-1530. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
Back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, one head of hair.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you're with us on this weekend, middle of June. When's summer solstice? That's another week from now, isn't it?
I don't track the summer solstice.
My wife always teases me because I always enjoy summer solstice and the winter solstice.
What do you do? You go out and perform some sort of sand ritual or what?
I don't do any ritual. It's not like I've got some pagan sort of thing that I'm doing because of the solstice. It's just the summer solstice, it's the longest daylight day of the year.
Versus,
and I appreciate that.
Okay.
Because I like the daylight. I appreciate it. And then winter solstice, what I like about it, it's a turning point. Now the days are getting longer again. More light. Days aren't getting longer, but there's more light. The days appear longer because there's more light in.
I prefer, quite frankly, the day before and the day after the solstices. What is it really? Anyway.
What do you mean?
So I had this discussion with my son the other day. We were up at Tahoe, and he says it stays lighter up here. And I said, no, it's about the same. And he says, oh. And so then we were talking about how time
is relative.
Well, no. Oh. Time is...
What is time?
Well, the way the sun goes around the earth. It's, anyway.
This wasn't your oldest son in college.
No. Okay. This was my younger son. But
well, the more north you are, of course. I was just reminded there was a... The story could be slightly wrong, but it's a good story nonetheless.
Okay. we'll just go with that because it is a news station.
There was a Native American tribe in Arizona somewhere that in the mornings, the women would go out and welcome the sun in for the day. They'd mm-hmm. invite the sun.
Like, did they take credit for it? Or
I'm just saying. Here's
they like the marketing department?
And invite the sun. And when some Westerners arrived, they're like, hey, you know what? The world is just, it's round and the sun's going to rise regardless. Why don't you just trust us? Tomorrow, why don't you just sleep in, let the sun rise on its own? And they like, what are you, crazy?
Oh.
You want us to take that chance?
That'd be
so
dangerous.
They got out the next day and invited the sun in once again. Anyway, this is a financial program. We got to take some calls because we've been rambling a lot today. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's talk with Kevin. Kevin, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I have a question about my 403B. I emailed you guys a couple weeks ago, and I've maxed out my 403B, maxed out the IRA as well, too. And I'm curious, what's a good next step?
An IRA or a Roth IRA?
Roth IRA, okay. I'm sorry. Maxed out the Roth IRA, then maxed out my 403.
Good for you. How old are you?
48 years old.
And do you still have kids in the house? Do you have kids at all? Or?
No, that's actually why I like your program. Your kids are about 2 years ahead of mine, so I know what to expect.
Okay. So here's, if you can get to retirement time, 10, 15, 20 years from now, whatever that is for you, right? And have some money in your 403B, which is tax deferred, which you got a tax deduction today, right? It's going to be, but that'll be taxable at retirement. Then you have some money in your Roth, which will be tax free. It's also great, Kevin, if you could have another bucket that is just after tax savings. So, I mean, here's what I would be doing in your situation. I'd be contributing to maybe like an S&P 500 index fund. And you might say, well, I don't know if I want to be that aggressive. If you look at your overall allocation, and if you can have something like your index portion of your portfolio on an outside investment, they're very tax efficient. They don't spin off much in the way of taxable dividends. Any dividends that do get spun off, the majority of them are going to be qualified, so they're taxed at a lower rate. And then when you go to sell those in the future, they'll be taxed at a capital gains tax, long-term capital gains tax.
There is some capital gains that come out of the...
Very little, though.
But Scott, I would disagree with you. You said the S&P 500? I would buy the total market.
All right, well, whatever.
No, that matters. The S&P 500, you're not getting enough exposure to the mid and small company stocks.
Okay, well, if he looks at an overall allocation between his other investments...
It's not that big. Okay. It's not. We're talking,
still the same concept.
Oh, the concept is 100% the same.
That's you can have a fund directly with one of the no load firms, and you could, if you want, you can set it up on a monthly basis that gets money checked and come out, or
and
you
then
can
buy
do it on
the,
an annual basis, or however you want to do it.
Buy the total market or the S&P. I mean, at the end of the day, in the next 10 years, we'll probably see almost insignificant differences between the rates of return.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, it does. And I already do something similar to that. I'm just curious, should I attack that next, or should I do like the 457? Maybe that's a...
Oh, wait. Whoa.
You've got that
you
as well.
That? You have a 457 available to you?
Yes, I do.
What's your family income?
About 160.
Yeah. Are you going to... You think you'll retire in the state of California?
I don't know.
And you're going to have a good pension when you retire?
As long as STIRS becomes stays viable.
That's a tough question.
How much do you have in your saved up in your Roth?
In my Roth, probably about 70 in my Roth, maybe 430 in my 403Bs altogether.
And you said you're 47?
Yeah, 48, yes.
Okay, so you have $430,000 in your 403B.
And Kevin, for the rest of the listeners, Kevin can contribute more than most of us because his employer offers a 457 in addition to his 403B, so he can contribute $17,500 into his 403B and $17,500 into his
457. And it's unusual. You don't see a lot of 403B, 457 mixes. So I assume you're in a school district and you're an administrator of some sort.
Correct.
So it's rare. That's why we didn't ask the question if you had a 457 available to you. So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
I think I'd use the 457.
I would too.
Would you go Roth or tax deferred?
Can you?
Can you do a Roth there?
On your 457, yeah. Does it offer Roth?
At 160.
Where do you, if you said, I'm 50% chance I'm moving out of the state.
Will your pension be when you retire?
I don't know. I have like 22 years in the system.
And is the 160 based upon your income or yours and your spouse's?
Just mine. My wife does not work.
Okay. So
she does not work outside of the home. Let's clarify that. A little marital counseling there for you.
I'm gonna throw
that in. It's a bonus to this call.
So your pension's probably going to be somewhere around 80,000 or so. I'm guessing if you stay on, right?
Probably, yeah. That'd be a safe bet.
I would use the 457, and I'd take the tax deduction. I would not use the Roth.
Okay.
I think I would too. I like the idea that you're maxing out your Roth IRA. You know, and it's hard. No one will know until we're way down there. Right? And it's 20 years from now, you'll know the right decision. Right now, we know that the tax rates are relatively high. You're in a fairly high tax bracket with your tax
it's going to get higher.
Particularly the state of California.
Yeah.
You're already at 9.5% for
and
California.
And if you leave the state of California.
If you leave the state of California, it's a no-brainer. Take the tax deduction.
Yeah.
Because you're paying 10% to California, roughly.
And you could move to a state like Texas or Nevada. Or
there's none.
Or even lower income tax states like Arizona or Colorado.
Okay.
So that's why I would take the deduction. You did it, Scott. So, I was making Roth contributions to my 401k and I stopped.
Yeah. Well, that's when the tax rates kept getting higher.
Yeah, the rates got higher and higher and higher, so that it lost some of its benefit in the state of California. Now, if I was in Nevada, I'd probably be making contributions in the Roth.
And the thing about the Roth, although it's currently tax-free withdrawals, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if there's a change in tax structure where we're going to have a flat tax added along with a value-added tax, national sales tax, right? We don't know if they're going to say if your income's above a certain amount, Roth IRAs are going to be taxable or partially taxable.
A net worth tax? Who knows?
So you're kind of making you're making a bet.
So I would go with the deductible 457 at this point in time, based on that. And I would use that instead of the total market or the S&P 500.
Okay, yeah, I already do some outside stuff. I just took me up until this point to get to where I finally maxed out the Roth IRA and the 403B. And my question is, you know, kind of, well, what next? Now I've
yeah, I like the 457. And you can, you're saving a lot of money, which sounds great. So,
yeah, 457.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I appreciate it. All right,
Kevin.
I appreciate what you guys do.
All right.
Appreciate
thanks.
The call.
Glad you called. And enjoy those teenage years coming up behind you here.
You laugh. Well, we just dropped my daughter. She's huh? This morning, my wife dropped my daughter off to go to be a counselor at a camp up at Lassen County for developmentally and physically disabled children.
What a great experience.
She was nervous. My daughter was nervous.
That's good. It's a great experience for her. We're taking a quick break. 888-2-HANSON to join the program. 888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
You hear Scott Hanson and Pat McLean each weekend as they host Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you're not yet a client of Hanson McLean Advisors, you really ought to give them a shot. You see, the same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean Advisors is to first listen to you and then help come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Goals that range from retirement planning to debt elimination to income solutions. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products. They use investment tools from well-known brand names, in addition to financial products from lesser-known boutique shops, all with the objective to help you meet your financial goals. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at moneymatters.com.
Broadcasting from Northern California for two decades, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean, and we don't know who the gentleman was that just read that little promo. Do you know who the gentleman was that ran the...
Dave something or other.
Was it?
Huh? You know, it's funny how things have changed. We've been doing this radio show for about 20 years. Early on, they used the tape. It was a reel-to-reel tape when you record a commercial. It was a reel-to-reel. Then they went to they looked like little 8-track cassette.
Oh, yeah, there was like walls filled with them.
And then, of course, it went all to digital. But back in the day when you'd have a pro voice, someone who would read you know, KFBK or whether it be KGO or Handsome McLean.
Yeah, sort of sometimes they call him the voice of God.
Yeah, But back in the day, you'd have to get someone that have the little tape ran over to you, and you'd go find them. Now with the with online, literally, there's these marketplaces you go to where there's hundreds or thousands of people offering their services to do pro voices, and you can listen to them all, and you could say, "Can you give me a sample?"
And then they send you, and you decide,
and then you work out a price. And I mean, I got to
figure work out of their homes
or whatever. I've got to figure it's gotten a pretty tough way to make a living for them because it's such an easy thing to deliver these days, as opposed to anyway
back in the day. And that's all you need to know about radio production. Thank you for listening.
I don't know why we're getting... Anyway, we still have time for a couple calls. 888-2-HANSON, 888-2-H-A-N-S-O-N. We're talking with Mike. Mike, you're with Hanson McLean.
Good morning, guys. You piqued my interest with your earlier discussion about annuities. I manage my mother, and I'm trustee of my mother-in-law's trust, and manage her brokerage account. My wife takes care of a lot of the daily bills that she has in a bank account that receives Social Security and her dead husband's retirement.
Okay.
We got a little surprise in the mail a couple of weeks ago that evidently years ago she purchased an annuity, and Fidelity sent her a letter saying, you know, your contract is maturing. You need to make a decision. She will be 85 next month, and the options they offer her are to annuitize the contract, defer the contract, or surrender the contract. My wife and I are very seriously leaning towards annuitizing the contract, which interestingly is the default position.
Mm-hmm.
To defer the contract, and evidently you're required to have this option at 85, and then you'll revisit it at 95. And it piqued my interest with this woman who wants to live to 110. My mother-in-law's mother died at 96. Her father died at, like, 93.
Okay.
So her potential for long-term life is pretty good, and it's given me pause to think, well, maybe we shouldn't necessarily annuitize this. She receives an annuity. She's got a very handsome brokerage account.
So, Mike, let's ask a couple questions here. So your mother-in-law has got this annuity where the insurance company says, hey, it's, at this age, the way our contract's written, and this has to do with this contract, where contract's written, we're going to ask you to make a decision to either annuitize this, which means you turn it into a series of payments,
right,
take it all out today, or we'll allow you to defer that annuitization for another 10 years.
And
what's the income right now to the family?
Yes.
Your mother-in-law's.
All the money that comes in that you pay taxes on.
More than adequate to cover her bills.
Okay, and when she so here's the thing you got. Here's the thing that is bad about annuities. The way they're taxed is all that growth is going to be taxed as ordinary income, not favorable capital gain treatment, not qualified dividend.
No step up in basis. It's either going to be taxed to her or to the beneficiaries. So the question you ask yourself is, what tax bracket is she in,
and
what tax bracket are the beneficiaries in?
The beneficiaries are in a fairly decent tax bracket. I'm retired and receive a pension and have a pretty good brokerage account.
Is the mother in a lower tax bracket than the beneficiaries?
Negative. She pays quarterly taxes because she's in an upper tax bracket.
Do you have any idea what her annual family income is?
80,000,
100,000, 200, 2 million. And what is your family income ballpark?
About 100.
All right, so it's probably about
a push.
So the thing is, these dollars, the gain in this annuity contract will be taxed either to her or to her heirs.
Now, what is there any guarantee interest rate in this contract?
Unknown. I am guardian or trustee of her trust account. I found out that I need to go ahead and have a new power of attorney to administer or oversee the.
My guess is that there's a guarantee in these annuity contracts
that might be higher than
might
what
be
they
higher
are.
Than what.
So here's what you need to look at. First of all, so the first thing we just covered And that is, and for us listeners, that the gain in this annuity contract will be taxed either to the annuity holder or to their beneficiaries, period. There's no way to avoid it unless it's given to a charity. So there will be tax paid on. So we just dealt with that. It's a push on this, both in the same tax. So now we need to look at what is the guaranteed rate of return, the interest guarantee, if she defers this contract. Some of these old annuity policies had a 4% guarantee or a 3% or 3.5%. I remember seeing some older ones that had a 5% floor on them, a minimum of 5%. So if it's got a really high guarantee, well, we'll want to know that. After that, what is the rate of return on this annuitization? Now, these annuity contracts, there's a contract that'll have in it, the annuity policy, what the annuitization rates are. And we can determine from that what's the internal rate of return.
But if it's a fixed annuity from a well-known life insurance company, if you were to ask me to guess, right, with all the information I know today, what I would do with it, I would defer it. Because my guess is it's got a guarantee in it greater than 3%, depending upon when she bought it.
It's done very, very well since she's bought it.
Yeah.
It's not a variable annuity, is it?
I don't know. I'm suspecting that it is.
What's the name of the insurance company that issued it?
Fidelity.
And you think it's a variable annuity?
I think it is. I don't have enough detail about
it. I doubt it.
She talked to me, and my mother-in-law is a little forgetful.
How long ago did she purchase it?
She purchased it, I believe, in 2003 for $100,000, and it's now worth $350,000.
Okay, so she bought it right at the bottom of the market.
Yeah, it's a variable annuity.
And it's very aggressively invested.
And it's a variable annuity.
That's what I believe, yes.
And it's very aggressively invested.
It's extremely aggressive.
Yes.
It's extremely aggressive.
Yes.
Is she leaving any money to charity in her trust or will?
She gives some money to charity. Some money to charity in the will,
and
yes.
How much? So at her death, how much money will be going to charity?
Not a lot.
Okay.
I mean, given the volume of her brokerage account,
because this might be the product that is listed. In other words, let's say that she wants 10% to go to charity. You might say, let's have this annuity or a portion of the annuity go to charity because of the tax structure. That would be a great way to structure that sort of thing.
So Scott, but he has the power of attorney. So you need to get the power of attorney and actually dig into this annuity. And dig into the annuity and maybe you just rebalance it and keep it alive and defer it.
If it's a variable annuity, that might be exactly the thing you want to be doing on that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can call us back once you get the information.
Yeah,
we'll give
you a little bit more
guidance.
Those are the things to look at, though.
It's a really good problem.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah,
it is a problem.
It is a problem. You need to figure out the right thing to do here, and she should be happy that she's got you, Mike. So appreciate the call and get that information and reach us back. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. Let's talk with Steve. Steve, you're with Hanson McLean.
Steve.
You are live and on the radio, Steve.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Steve's question was...
That's pretty funny.
We're going to drop the call. Oh, you on, Steve?
No, he's not on.
All right, so Steve's question,
Steve at this point.
Steve's question was...
How much can a young person put into their 401k? His daughter's 18 years old, wants to maximize the 401k.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
It's impressive. My daughter wants to maximize her income, her spending.
Yeah.
At 19 and a half.
What's pretty impressive is she's got a job at a place that actually has a 401k for an 18-year-old.
That's true. So here's the thing. You can contribute the lesser of 100% of your income or $17,500.
The lesser of.
So let's say she's making
$10,000 a year. She can put in $10,000. If she makes $25,000 a year, she can only put in $17,000.
$17,500.
In most cases, now.
Some companies will limit.
How much you can put in.
25% of your pay, 30% of your pay.
Some companies actually will match up to a certain amount. So at her age, what would you do? I would probably put up to the match
And then I would fund the rest into a Roth IRA. Because I'm making the assumption that her income isn't high.
Yeah, do just the math. And if they have a Roth 401k option.
Go above that.
Absolutely.
100% of it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you, and you're in a low tax bracket. Look, if you're in a low tax bracket today, matter of fact, the majority of Americans are in a 15% tax bracket or lower. If you're in a lower tax bracket, the Roth option is the 401, you know, the 401k is the best way to go. Because you, otherwise you're choosing to take a tax deduction today when you're in a low tax bracket, betting on what? You'll be in the even lower tax bracket in retirement?
Yeah. So in her situation, if they have a Roth 401k option, contribute the maximum to that as much as you can. If they don't, just contribute to the match and put the rest of the dollars into a Roth IRA.
My daughter has not trying to maximize her 401k. She's got a summer job. I do not know if she has a 401k available to her.
Scott.
And she has not said, hey, Dad, what's the maximum I could be saving on my summer job?
Every child is different.
I tried to actually come up with a little program of if she can save some money, I'll have some of my own.
How'd
kind
that
of,
go?
Well, it's the start of the summer.
Oh.
She's already in the hole.
You need to have the discussion with the family about the gross family product and the number of inputs.
What?
The gross family product. I have the discussion with my family. The gross family product. There's too few inputs. You have a gross domestic product. We have a gross family product.
It's just you, man.
Yeah.
One, me. There's six of us. Inputs coming from one.
Outputs everywhere. To find out more information about our firm.
How is that working out for you, by the way?
Excellent. Right. To find out more information about our firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, visit moneymatters.com. Lots of great tools and calculators.
Yep. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. This has been Hanson McLean.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.